We continue in our study on 1 John, so happy to have you with us again today as we're studying the Scripture by whatever means you're using to study it and what Bible study that you're enjoying the wonderful Word of God on this great study of 1 John on standing up for Jesus, defending the faith. Now, we talked about Jesus Christ is the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Revelation 19:13, he's called the Word of God. Remember what the purpose of the Word is to communicate. And Jesus is God's Word, the Alpha and Omega, all the alphabet of God, God's noun, verb, adjective, everything. So the Holy Spirit wants us to hear three truths about the Lord Jesus Christ in the face of these Gnostics who are condemning Jesus Christ, the new church, and the redemptive work of God, all behind the work of the old wicked one, Satan himself. I'm David Bowler. It's my wonderful privilege to share the Word of God with you today. And I want to pray, and then we'll get right into the Word. Our Father, we love you. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for your grace and mercy, your protection. As we go out and live and serve and work for you, thank you for putting a hedge around us to keep the old wicked one back. And as we submit ourselves to you, so teach us in your scriptures today about your Son, our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as I said, the Holy Spirit wants to teach us three truths about the Lord Jesus Christ. God's communication, God's Word to man. The first one, number one, is that Jesus is the Christ of reality. Men everywhere are searching for reality, truth. What is truth? Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. They're trying to find something that gives purpose and substance to life. This little book, 1 John, not a big book, not a long book, 5 chapters, the way we have it divided in our scriptures, but it is just packed with power and understanding about Jesus. Now, as I said, there was a heresy in the background which God is countering in the early church, still doing it today. All the heresies that plagued the Christian faith had their beginning in the first century. There really aren't any new heresies. They may be dressed up a little bit with a different kind of dress. Anything you hear today was started way back there and is a rerun. Nothing new under the sun. It's a satanic attack upon the person of Jesus, his church, his word, his people. Now, there was a heresy, as I said, we know as Gnosticism. Starts with a G, a silent G. The Greek word means to know. The Gnostics were people who claimed a superior knowledge. They came from Greece, Persia, India. Karim Sarturim was one of the major leaders that led in this attack upon the church. The Holy Spirit battles this heresy by turning their own ammunition on them. The Holy Spirit takes their word, no, and fills this book with it 30 times. We know this. We know that. We know. Now, one of the Gnostics' teaching was that matter was evil. Therefore, they taught that Jesus was not a real person with an actual physical body because he would have had to have a body was made of matter. Therefore, a body was evil. They denied his coming in the flesh, that he took on humanity. They rejected the incarnation of God's only begotten Son. They taught he only appeared to live. He only appeared to live. That he was only spirit, an illusion to men. There was no virgin birth. But the Holy Spirit teaches here that Jesus Christ is real. He's everything God said he is in the Scripture. That he actually exists. Now, he talks about here a threefold reality. Look at the first part of John 1:1a. Jesus is eternally real. Look at your Bible, verse 1. That which was from the beginning. You see that? That which was from the beginning. look at verse 2, the B part of it, which was with God and was manifest unto us. Jesus was in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Jesus already was. There are three main beginnings mentioned in the Bible. Genesis 1:1, the beginning of creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Then there's the beginning of the gospel, Mark 1:1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it was sent into the world to be preached. Third, that which was from the beginning, 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning. The word was means to exist of and by oneself. He always has been. He always will be, always has been. He's telling us that Jesus Christ has always existed. He was. And we can't say that. We're has-beens. Listen, when Jesus was incarnated, he took on flesh and came into the world. It was the eternal Christ stepping out of eternity into time. But he's always existed from eternity. You think back as far as you can go back, as far into eternity as you can think. Drive a stake. Before that, Jesus Christ always has been, always was. So Jesus Christ is the eternal God. Jesus is co-equal, co-existent, co-eternal with God the Father and with God the Holy Spirit. Now, as you know, as we've studied the scripture, John 1:1, we read it already, but I want to read it to you again. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see it? In the beginning, when all this started, the Word was already with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Well, bless my soul. Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen God. John 12:45. Now, all of us must come to grips with this eternity. When you were born, you became an eternal soul. You were given life by God. Remember, life is in Christ. In him was life. Listen to verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. All life came from him. When you die physically, you will still exist as a living soul. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 16:26. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now you think, what are you living for? If you're living to gain the whole world, you're going to die. Time's going to go by. Goes by fast. I just think in my own life. Here I am, 80 years old, and it's gone by like a vapor. That's what God said it will do. But I'm an eternal soul. I'm a born-again child of God. I'm going to spend eternity with heaven, have a new body. He's saying, listen, a man or a woman is a fool to live for time. And give no consideration to eternity. Stop and think about your eternal soul. Out there in the future, friend, you have a rendezvous with God, the eternal God. So first of all, Jesus is the eternally real God. Now the second thing that the Holy Spirit, through the pen of John, points out to these Gnostics, Jesus is the historically real Christ. Here he tells us that Jesus Christ really existed in time and in flesh. He was incarnated. He became flesh and dwelt among us. There was an incarnation, and that Jesus Christ actually lived in a real body. Listen to 1 John chapter 1, verse 2 now. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. He's talking about Jesus. John is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. There was an incarnation, and that Jesus Christ actually lived in a real body. The word that he uses there twice is manifested. He was manifested, and he was manifested among us. The Greek word means to appear, to be made visible. He's the eternal Christ who existed in eternity with the Father. The invisible Christ was born incarnate and became visible, became flesh, and lived and moved among men. 1 Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness. It is. God is manifest in the flesh, that God became flesh to become a man, to die, to live a perfect life, to die on the cross as a substitute, an atonement for you and I. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Do you see what the Holy Spirit through John is trying to tell us? Now, if they ever had television sets and tape recorders or phones like we do so they could take pictures, you could have taped the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnation, his death, his resurrection. You could have taped all of these things. You could have taped his voice. We could have literally heard the voice of the Lord. Now, we do now. As we look and study the Word of God, it's God speaking to us. This written Word is the incarnate living Word. Jesus Christ was made flesh. Now look what John says back up in verse 1. He tells us, and he appeals to three of our senses. Listen, look at verse 1 again. That which was from the beginning, here's the first one, we heard him, which we have heard. Think of all the things God, Jesus Christ, told John with his human voice. Have you heard him? No, we haven't heard him, his voice. We've heard him by faith. Amen. So he said, we've heard him. Listen next. Which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon. John said, I saw Jesus with my own eyes. I looked upon him. And the Greek word is an intense gaze, just literally stood, not just a glance, but literally looking and realizing here is God in the flesh. It means to examine him intently. He watched Jesus raise the dead, give sight to the blind, still the sea, feed the 5,000. He saw the resurrected Son of God. Now, the Gnostics said, you just saw an hallucination. Jesus really didn't have a body. You might have heard him. You might have seen something. But no, watch now, the third thing. This is where God hammers it. Look, and our hands have handled of the Word of life. We touched him. John could have told us exactly. He could have said, Jesus is so tall. He weighs so many pounds. We don't know what that is. But John could have told us. He said, he's real. I touched him. I've seen him. I've heard him. And I've touched him. And I know he's real. Now, inside that body dwelt the fullness of God. On Mount Transfiguration, all the inward glory of God, remember, was manifested in a sudden blaze of glory and majesty, and he literally shined brilliantly as the God person shone out of that incarnate body. Listen, my friends, Jesus Christ is real. Good to get an amen on that. Praise God, he is real. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came down to this world, incarnate as a little baby in Bethlehem. He grew, he walked among men, he demonstrated and taught the principles of God. I love him for loving us, don't you? We first loved him because he first loved us. The only way he could see our full need was to be a man like us. He experienced every temptation you and I have, yet without sin, where we failed. He never failed. This is what our great God did. He knew what it was to hurt. He knew what it was like to be lonely. He knew what it was to weep and sorrow. He knows what it was to be misunderstood. he understood when the burdens are heavy and the problems are great. So John said, this Jesus Christ, number one, is historically real, and he is eternally real. He has been here with us. He is historically and eternally real. Now, the third thing he talks about experientially, Jesus is real experientially. Look back to verse 2 again. It says, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with God, and was manifested unto us. Key is manifested again. Christianity is a real personal experience with the real Lord Jesus Christ. August the 28th, 1965, I met Jesus Christ as my Savior in Spanish Fort, Alabama, and was called to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The next day, the 29th of August, I preached at the Mobile Rescue Mission, my first sermon, and preached on John 3:16. Didn't know a lot about sermons or anything. It just shared what Jesus had done, had six men saved at the rescue mission that night. Never will forget it. Now, you have never seen Jesus physically, neither have I. But the Bible teaches that we can know him by faith. Faith, listen, becomes the hands, the eyes, the ears of the eternal soul. By faith, we have a personal saving experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. I was saved by faith, and God changed my life. You can go out of this building, if you're in a building listening to the broadcast. You can walk out and you can sing, he is real to me. He's real to me. My blessed Lord is real to me. A living, bright reality, my blessed Lord is real to me. Hallelujah. Have you met the Lord Jesus Christ today? Now, friends, listen to me. If you're searching for reality, you'll find reality in the person of Jesus Christ. Christianity is not knowing Christ in a historical sense. It is knowing Christ in a personal experience. Not church membership, but supernatural spiritual birth, being born again, salvation. Church members may know about Jesus, but born again believers know Jesus as their personal Savior. So the first thing that the Holy Spirit shows us through the pen of the Apostle John, Jesus Christ is the Christ of reality. But not only that, the second thing he shows us, Jesus Christ is the Christ of relationship. Look at 1 John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard. Remember, he's just repeating it. The Holy Spirit, again and again, we saw, we heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, listen to this, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And what is he saying that coming to know Christ brings us into? Brings us into fellowship. It's used two times in verse 3, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship was the Father and with his Son. Now this is very, very, very important word. The Greek word koinonia means fellowship. It means to have in common, to share something together. Someone said it's two fellows in one ship, fellowship. One man said, preacher, do you know that 2/3 of the earth is water? Preacher said, yes, I do. He said, well, do you know why? He said, yes, I know why, because it releases water into the atmosphere to keep the environment right for man. The man said, no, that's wrong, preacher. Well, what is it? He said, it means we're to spend 2/3 of our time fishing and fellowshipping. That sounds like some fishermen that I know. Now, you fishermen can get together and talk and share about Jesus and fish, but you have something else in common. It's this word, fellowship. But see, this is a Christian word. It means to have the things of Jesus Christ in common. That's what we're called, brothers and sisters in Christ. It means we enjoy Jesus Christ together. It means to be one in the Lord, one body, one family. Jesus is the Christ of relationship. Now, the Holy Spirit tells us about a twofold relationship. Number one, there's a horizontal relationship that goes out around us. That's fellowship one with another, he said in verse 3. And then there's vertical fellowship, and that's fellowship with God that he mentions in this verse. Now, horizontally, you have fellowship with a family, a fellowship with us, your Christian family, your regular family. Some teach that God is the Father of everyone, that we're all universal family of brothers and sisters, called universalism. And that sounds good, but the problem is it's not true. Now, there are two families in this world. There are those that are born again. And then Jesus said, remember those that were unsaved, the Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil. There's a family of the devil, and there's one of God. The only way to get into God's family is through a new birth experience. Now, God is everybody's creator. Listen to that. But to get into God's family, you have to be recreated. You have to be regenerated. You have to be born again. Not by baptism. You're not baptized into the family. You don't join the church to get into it. You must be born again, Jesus told Nicodemus. Now listen, when we're born into God's family, we become part of the greatest fellowship in the world. Remember that song, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Another one of the hymns we sing, what a fellowship, what a joy divine. So it's a fellowship in worship. Forsake not the assembling yourselves together. As a matter of some is, get in your church, join your church, be a part of it. The Bible talks about a fellowship in the gospel, that we enjoy Jesus and together we're working, getting the gospel out to a lost world. It's the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Philippians chapter 2, he talks about it. Verse 1, he says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, you see, any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. That's why we Christians enjoy church, preaching, and singing. So a family fellowship horizontally all around us. Then there's the vertical where he talks about in verse 3, fellowship with God. Think of this. We have the opportunity to have fellowship personally with God Himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. What a blessing to get up in the morning and say, Dear Heavenly Father, you pray and read your Bible and sing that, oh, He walks with me and talks with me and tells me I am His own. Read the Bible and pray. Get under the preaching. Share the gospel. Enjoy the fellowship with God. Now, let me hurry so I can try to close these first four verses. Jesus is the Christ of reality. He's the Christ of relationship. Jesus is the Christ of rejoicing. Now, watch this. Look, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Why? That you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, verse 4, and these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. Wow. The word full is to be filled full. Jesus said, I want you to have total joy, not a fourth joy, not a half of joy, but I want you to have a full life of joy. Folks, this word is peculiar, particular to the Christian faith. Lost people don't have joy. They have temporary pleasure for a season. The world is full of fear and anxiety. The generation looks for entertainments, amusements, all these things. Yet people are lonely, depressed. They look for drugs, alcohol, sex, pleasure. You don't hear the lost singing a song of eternal joy. Now, we sing about heaven when we all get to heaven. No lost people getting together singing when we all get to hell. These things write we unto you that your joy might be full. Psalm 16:11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. If you want joy, come to Jesus. Joy can't be purchased in the world. It can only be granted at the throne of Almighty God. Amen. I tell people I have more fun by accident than the devil's crowd does on purpose. Now, for the Christian, there is joy in several places. Let me quickly touch these. Number one, salvation. Isaiah 12:3. Therefore, with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. Oh, the blessings I've got out of being saved. It's joy to be saved, isn't it? Our sins are forgiven. We get to live with Jesus forever. We're going to heaven when we die. I had a doctor's appointment today, went in and saw Dr. Jack McCauley, been with him about 30-something years. And we were talking about the Lord. And I said, now, Jack, don't go to heaven. Don't retire until I leave for heaven, because you've been a real blessing to me. The joy that we have. Deeper Christian experiences. Billy Bray, Cornish Miner, rejoice and shout it all the time. And they said, well, what if you wind up in hell? He said, well, I'll know it's been a mistake, and I'll go to praising the Lord. And I said, Billy, you got to get out of here. There's joy in salvation. There's joy in the Scriptures. Jeremiah 15:16, thy word was the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Doesn't the Bible do that for you? Have you ever got happy studying the Scripture? I get to study the Bible many hours every week. That's my job. And I do it anyway, my quiet time in the morning. But I get in this truth, I get happy and just get to rejoicing and praising the Lord. Do you know why many of you are missing out on joy? You aren't studying your Bible. God said there's joy in the Scripture. Get it in your heart and get it. So there's joy in salvation, there's joy in the Scripture, and there's joy in soul winning. Nothing like it. 1 Thessalonians 2:20. You are our glory and joy, Paul said, those he had led to Christ. Jesus is telling us, and Paul is saying, it's a joy to win people to Christ. There's no joy in the world like it. I mean, I used to love to go out on Monday night visitation at Highland Park. One Monday night, we had 1,014 people out for visitation, had 50-plus people saved that night. I mean, just the joy, the blessing. And I can tell you story after story. I don't have time. Then number four, the last thing for the day, there's joy in singing. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Now, I'm not a great singer, but I love to sing the hymns and bless the Lord. I used to love the great choir and orchestra at Highland Park Baptist Church with Jerry Mathias, over 100-something people and about 30 instruments of all kind, the great hymns and choruses. And you'd go out and through the week, Ephesians 5:19, say, make a melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, do you know Jesus today? You say, no, but I want to. Then, friend, call on him today. Amen. Let God work in your heart. Stand up with your public profession. Witness for the Lord. Bring glory and praise to him. Stand up for Jesus. Well, our time is out, and we'll begin the next broadcast or the next Bible study as we continue in this wonderful study of 1 John. Until then, this is David Bowler, and it's my prayer that the Lord will richly bless you.